Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Word Down Your Way. You're such a lovely audience.
Well, welcome to another Word Down Your Way. We were talking the other day about how fantastic it was that pretty much all the people who are on the cover of smash hits in the 1980s are still touring. And this further proves the point, because the professionals are back on the road and Paul Cook is still firmly in the lineup. Paul, it's lovely to see you. How are you? All right?
Yeah, doing very well. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Do you remember the professionals being on the cover of Smash Hits? Because it was quite a thing. It was a bit of a change of gear. It was normally kind of Chaka Khan or the Boomtown Rats or Madness or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of do, actually. I remember the picture well with Andy Allen with a long ginger hair that didn't fit in at all. It was a pinnacle of our success, I think, as far as press went at the time, because we'd just come off of the pistol split and Andy was just kind of playing with us as a session guy, really, and we were still getting the band together. And we thought, I'll let him go on there. Bit of a disaster PR-wise, really, I think.
Yeah, it didn't look very smashes, did it? It looked like somebody looked like a member of Mott the Hoople or whatever, or Fat Mattress, you know, something appeared on the cover of Smashes. Extraordinary.
Correct. Yeah, but that's why we were on the cover, really, because of I think we just released our album then, and it was, like I say, off the back of the pistol split, and we were still big news at the time, would you believe?
Yeah.
Still are, after
absolutely.
All these years. So can you remember, if we go back, can you remember your first experience of going to see anything live?
Yeah, it's a bit hazy, actually, as you know, it's a long time ago. But all the early gigs I used to go to, because I lived in Hammersmith, lucky enough, right near the Odeon, as it was called then, they, in the, must have been late 60s, brought over all the Tamla Motown acts. And so I remember going to see people like Stevie Wonder and the Four Tops at the Hammersmith Odeon, really, when I was just a teenager. And we used to, you know, have a way in round the back there, and we could go in whenever we pleased, really. So that was my first memory. Then we moved on to all.
What do you mean you had a way around the back? You used to sneak in.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? That's really interesting.
Oh, we was pretty
climbing agile, through a window or something.
Yeah. The security was really lax at all gigs then, and you could just kind of get open the back door, really, because they were all, you know, broken or jump up a pipe and get in the ladder. And so we'd do that. And it was great, really. So we could just see anyone we wanted to, really. And then we moved on to all the early early 70s glam rock acts that played there.
So do you still regard it, as I do, as the Hammersmith Odeon?
Odeon.
It is still in your memory, isn't it? The Hammersmith Odeon. It's like,
you can't refer to it as the Aventim Apollo.
You can't change the names of venues, can you?
No.
I don't think so, no. Everyone still, whoever lives around has, still calls it the Odeon. I mean, it's changed. I don't know what it's called now. The Inventive, Emirates, Apollo, this, that, and whatever. I don't know.
No, it's like all these places. Like, every time I go past the building that used to be called the Rainbow. It's the Rainbow in my head, you know. And it's like 40 years since it was the Rainbow, but it still is in my mind.
All the iconic gigs were played as well when they were called that name. So why would you change, Marley at the Rainbow or Slade at the Rainbow? Yeah. Why change it?
Absolutely.
What can you remember of those glam gigs, though? Who did you see in those early days? Was that Slade? They were quite a big deal for the Pistols, I remember.
Yeah, Slade, to a point, yeah. No, who did we see there? We saw Mott the Hoople. I think Queen played there. They were supporting Mott the Hoople, actually. Thin Lizzy, all sorts of bands like that. Did I see the Who there? All sorts of bands. Did Roxy play there? Bowie done the famous gig there, which we didn't actually get into at the time, unfortunately. That was, the security was a bit tight.
It was a bit too tight.
It was, yeah, it was a bit too tight. But one gig that stands out, what I did see there, was Alex Harvey, actually, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, in the early days.
He was amazing, wasn't he?
Yeah, I remember seeing
Did
Alex
he clamber
Harvey
around on all the scaffolding and off the equipment and stuff.
And it sticks in my mind because that day, it must have been a Saturday, England had played Scotland at Wembley and the whole audience was Scottish and there were all the flags were out, even though they'd got beaten about 5-0. It was fantastic. It was like being in a gig in Glasgow watching Alex Harvey being transferred to Hammersmith. It was absolutely fantastic.
Of course, it was. There's another sign of the times, isn't it? The Scottish invasion that used to take place when Scotland played England at Wembley. It's just extraordinary. It was an annual thing, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. They used to
Kilts
take over Wembley.
Were suddenly visible, weren't they? All over central London. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Probably still. We haven't played Scotland at Wembley for a long time. It still probably happens up to a point, I guess.
Yeah. So what was your first time on a stage playing with the band?
That was with the Pistols, actually. Yeah, at our very famous or infamous St. Martin's School of Arts gig.
Weren't you in various bands before? You were with the Strand and groups like that?
Yeah, but we never played.
No,
that's when, not live, that's when we had dreams of being, we jumped up at a couple of parties when we were learning to play, maybe, just people's private houses. But the very first gig was with the Pistols, for me, live at the St. Martin's School of Art in central London, just around the corner from our Denmark Street rehearsal rooms. And we remember wheeling all the equipment over there around the corner because Glenn Matlock went to the art school and he got us a gig supporting a band called Bazooka Joe.
Yeah.
Who were, I think
Adam Ant's band, wasn't it?
Adam Ant was in it at the time, yeah. And we were such a racket. They pulled the plug on us after a few gigs and it was descended into a bit of mayhem, actually.
So you were literally across the road, weren't you, from your rehearsal space and so forth?
Yeah, that's right. We were. So yeah, we it was really handy. I remember us wheeling all the equipment down Charing Cross Road, and getting out in there. We used to rehearse in Denmark Street. We had a little rehearsal room, which is still there actually. And
it's still there. Isn't that being turned into some kind of museum or something? Is it now? I can't remember. But it's still got all the graffiti on the wall, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's amazing. Yeah, I went to see it recently because they redeveloped all of Denmark Street, the other side, and they managed to keep hold of our old rehearsal room. They've turned it into an Airbnb now, I believe. It's got all the original graffiti, what John done, caricatures of all the band and Malcolm and Sid on the walls in there. It's still got an Airbnb.
So you can go and hire it for the night and just, that's fantastic.
I think you can, yeah.
Bizarre thing.
So you play your first gig at St. Martin's and there you were setting up a drum kit for the first time in front of an audience kind of thing. And that must have been an extraordinary experience to do that for the first time in front of an appreciable audience.
I don't remember much about, I mean, I know we was all really nervous and that's why we was real, all buzzing, high energy and a bit crazy. We didn't know what we were doing, really, and it's probably sounded absolutely dreadful. And it was nerve-wracking, actually, all our early, when you haven't played before on the stage and you get, even though it was in front of a very small audience, it was still a seminal moment in your life, I guess,
Did you get the feeling that you'd gone down well that night, or did you feel that But the world was against you.
No, I just thought, oh, God, what's going on here? This is mad. It was just descended into chaos, the gigs. And a lot of the early shows were like that as well, actually, because we used to go and just jump in on bands and say we was a support act. We got all these gigs around and turn up and say we were the support act. And a lot of the people didn't like us, you know. And but it was a learning curve. That's the way you do it. You get out there and you play live.
But you must have sensed on occasion in those early days that you might not make it, you might not be accepted, that it wasn't going to work. Or did you always think you were going to win them over?
No, we always had a great buzz from early on, especially when we started doing the residency at the 100 Club. And the first time we turned up there was a queue around the block, and we thought, oh my God, something's happening here. You know, we'd had a little bit of press at the time, not much, a couple of articles, I think little mentioned in the NME and somewhere else. And all of a sudden, we were packing out the 100 Club, and we just thought, oh, wow. We've tapped into something here. Something's happening.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So when you think back to those early days of Sex Pistols, what do you think were the best shows that you think that was us at our best?
I remember one where we played, we used to play all sorts of weird places. I remember one at the, what was it called in Piccadilly? There was like a church down, it was underneath in the crypt of a church.
Oh, St. James's, underneath St. James's Church in Piccadilly.
No, I'm not sure. What was it called? I can't remember it anyway. Someone will tell you. And that it was being televised as well, and it was packed out, and it was just a word of mouth show, and it was really great. And it was our crowd, you know. All the punks were turning up, kids, just they were cutting their hair and tearing their clothes up, and we thought, well, God, we've really tapped into something here, like I said, and something's really happening here. And it was a great feeling, actually, being right. Part of that at the time.
So tell us about this upcoming tour with the Professionals. You know, what's the status of the Professionals? Because obviously, as we've discussed, they were around in 1980, but you haven't been going all this time since.
No, we haven't. Obviously, the Professionals originally was myself and Steve Jones, the main guys in it, off the back, like I said earlier, off the back of the Pistols, and it only lasted a couple of years. We played, we toured around, we were doing okay. We made an album and we toured the States, and we had a horrible car crash, which really, really knocked the stuffing out the band, really. And we tried to pick it up again after we'd all recovered and went back. But Steve was getting a little bit messed up. He ended up staying in the States. We all flew back, and he ended up staying there. He's still there, actually.
Yes, it's quite a long time.
he just didn't get on the plane back home. So that was the end of the Professionals' first edition, and then I picked it up again, oh wow, nearly 10 years ago now, with the original band, with Tom Spencer jumping in for Steve Jones, just to see how it went. And it was great playing it again, and we made an album at the time with Tom singing and two guys, and it's been a changing lineup ever since, really, but we managed to keep it going over the years. We've made another album since then. So we've made two albums, which are pretty good, I think. And so we're just chugging along, really.
So do you still get some of the old school punks coming to see you? Because I remember going to see Adam and the Ants at the Hammersmith Odeon for about maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It was a fantastic sight. A load of people now in their late 50s, still with the old chains and green hair and stuff, you know. And do you get people, the old punk guard turning up again?
Yeah, there's still whichever ones left. They're still there. Not a lot of them. We've got a lot of hair left. There's a few bits of pink hair sticking up here.
You've done all right there. You've done all right in that respect.
We're lucky. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm not complaining. But a lot of the audience who are of a certain age are still around, and they still go. You know, lots of bands like still playing. All the punk bands like The Ruts are still playing. Stiff Little Fingers still do well. We supported Chelsea, them on the tour. We supported SLF on the tour a couple of years ago, which was great. And yeah, they're still around and they're still out there.
What did you think of Danny Boyle's TV miniseries, you know, the miniseries Pistol?
I don't mind.
How did it feel to see somebody playing the part of you for a start?
It was very weird watching it first time, I must admit, because I wasn't too involved in it, the making of it, so I didn't know how it was going. I was kind of watching it like that first time, and I was cringing like anything, to be honest. But after watching it a few times, I've thought he'd done a good job. It's a dramatisation, you know, which it's not a documentary. And I think it's, as you know, it's really hard to make good films about rock and roll bands. There's been a lot of disasters along the way, but a lot of people like it. It's got really got great reaction. It's, you know, I think it's pretty good.
Do you get a kind of new generation of kids coming along as a consequence of films like that?
Yeah, we did actually. Funny, I did notice it around that time when it was out a couple of years ago now. A lot of young kids who I wouldn't have thought even knew who I were coming up saying, oh, I saw the documentary, it's great. There's a kind of new audience for it, for sure, yeah.
Right. So how do you, what kind of set do you do now, the professionals in the 21st century? How do you put together a set?
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of material to draw from now, actually. We've got three albums where we do a couple of the original songs from the first album with Steve playing. We've got those. We've got a few singles that came out. I like playing the new stuff, I must be honest, from the new lineup and the new albums. And we sling in a couple of cover versions and a couple of Pistols numbers sometimes. So it's quite varied.
What Pistols
Which
numbers
Pistols
do you do?
You play?
Well, recently we tried Holidays in the Sun, which went down a storm, and we play Problems, none of the classic God Save the Queen or Anarchy, that, and Stepping Stone we play, which isn't a Pistols number, as you know, but it's kind of evolved into a Pistols number, and Glenn turns up sometimes and jumps up and does Pretty Vacant, so that's good.
Oh, lovely. Fun.
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to it?
Well, so it's a little mini tour we've got coming up. Yeah, it shouldn't be too strenuous. It's just four dates.
Right.
Just to let people know we're still alive, you know, basically.
But you look forward to it, presumably.
It's a bit of
a holiday, is it?
I like playing live, I must admit. Yeah, it's hard work, I must admit, with the profs. You know, it's a bit of a labour of love sometimes. It's not like we're a big band and got all needs catered for. We have to put a lot of the work in ourselves, a bit of humping here and there, setting up, and which is all right, you know, it keeps you grounded.
Right. Have you got any other bands going?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm working with a friend of mine, a guy called Johnny Weathers, who's a guitarist. He's released an album and an EP. I'm working with him to get another track together. He's quite big on the internet, if anyone wants to check him out. So I do a little bit of songwriting and playing with him. But not loads of other people, actually, no.
Is there even the ghost of a chance that there might be another Pistols reunion?
No, I don't think so. I think that was well and truly put to bed, especially with the court. With the court case with John, etc. You know, there's always a problem along those lines, but you never say never. And nobody thought we would get back together again back in '96, and we did. And then again, but I think we've truly underlined it.
Yeah.
Well, Willie Nelson is on tour this year, and he's 90 years old. You know, so don't think you've retired. You haven't. You know, there's a long way to go.
No. Anyway,
you've only just started.
I'd love to go and see Willie Nelson. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it would.
Can I mention the dates we're playing? Are you going?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, we're planning Birmingham, Castle and Falcon on the 11th of April, then the Brundanel in Leeds on the 12th, Cardiff, Iverback, 13th, and the good old London 100 Club on the 14th. The 100
Club, fantastic.
Back to the 100 Club.
Oh, that'll be really good. What nostalgia.
Excellent. Well, look, lovely to talk to you. And all, you know, as we used to say, good luck with the tour.
Word down your way. You're such a lovely audience.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word.